Congregation, the scripture reading for tonight you will find in the book of Psalms, of which we will read Psalm 61. Psalm 61. The word of the Lord. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Thus far the reading of God's word. Congregation, today is National Day of Prayer, which has been designated by the United Congress, asking us, and I quote from the Congress papers, to turn to God in prayer and meditation. In fact, it is a presidential proclamation encouraging us to pray this day. And congregation, I think prayer we need for our nation, for those in authority over us, for our churches, for our families. For those times maybe in your life when you weather the challenges of life. Congregation, do we not need for our nation, for our churches, for our families, for yourself, do we not need a place of refuge? As Augustus Toplady once wrote in the Gospel magazine of 1775, a time of turmoil in the nation, and he was reflecting on a journey in life, in his life, and when he took shelter in a gap of a mountain rock, and then he wrote, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." For the hymnwriter, this rock of ages was Christ, his shelter, his strong tower, his safe house. And so on this National Day of Prayer, when we come to the close of this day, is Christ your rock? Is Christ your rock? In life's journey, in times, the times in which we live, all the protests that are going on in the nation, living in confusing times. Maybe times personally, when you go to difficult times, caught in the storms of life, when your heart is overwhelmed. Those times when we cry with the words of the psalmist, when you cry from the end of the earth and it seems no one helps, no one hears. Or you sit here and you know by grace you cannot deny this in your life, maybe feeble as it might be, maybe struggling at times, rock of ages. Yes, that I know. Cleft for me. And therefore, with the help of the Lord, I want to meditate with you on Psalm 61, this prayer for this National Day of Prayer. And I will consider only the first four verses. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. And therefore let us meditate on this psalm that speaks of a crying prayer. His caring protection, overwhelmed with tension, but also abiding trust. This psalm that shows us why we need Christ, the rock of ages, who he is. And in the third place, how this ought to transform us. What I mean is this, if you cannot deny to have a personal acquaintance of having Christ as your rock, how is that now translated in your life? Dus why we need Christ, who he is, and how this ought to transform our life. Why do we need Christ as our rock? Or more personally, why do you need Christ as your rock? Because here is one who cries to God, hear me, listen to me, bend an ear to my prayer, verse 1. Christ to God from the end of the earth, verse 2. Congregation, here is one who feels that God is distant, who experiences a lack of God's presence, who feels remote from God, his people, church, and who does not feel that at times. When we pray for those in authority over us, for our nation, the secularism that is going on, the cultural issues, issues that even do not pass by our families, our churches, and it seems that God does not answer our prayers. Those times that you come to church, and that is what many of us do. We don't dare to miss a church service, but experiencing God's presence, his nearness is felt. Or when you go to challenging times in your life, illnesses, when you hear the medical news, no treatment possible. Depressions, often secret, not discussed. Well, worldwide, depression has increased over the last 5 years with more than 25%. Maybe at work, the anxiety, the depression. In congregation, let's not think that it will pass by our families and parents and particularly our young people. Those times may be in your life, where is God? When you read in the news, when laws of the state or federal level are passed and they are against God's word. Or closer to home, issues in raising our children, maybe the daily stress of work, busy schedules, or poor communication in marriage, forgetting the simple but so needful questions, how are you, how was your day, showing actually that you care about the other. Where is God when you go to difficult times? But are we like the psalmist? Are we turned to the Lord in prayer? Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. When life is overwhelmed, verse 2, when my heart is overwhelmed. And the word in the original points to be feeble, to be faint, to fainted, gross faint, and fainting away. This feeling to be shrouded and wrapped and covered, feeling enveloped, surrounded in darkness. Overwhelmed. Who does not know the feeling? An echo of the words, what we read, for example, in Psalm 18, which strongly resonate with our text verse in verse 3. The psalmist is surrounded by enemies when sorrows compassed him, floods overwhelmed him. When in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. Friends, when was it the last time that you turned to the Lord, cried unto my God? Those times that you wonder, where is God in all of this? That seems, everything seems to be fleeting away. Nothing is permanent except change. Those times that it seems that God has forgotten and forsaken you. The cry of the heart, why art thou so far from helping me? And it seems no one helps. I cry by day, but thou do not answer. Those times by night, which you don't feel rest. Maybe that are times that you begin to experience and you agree with the words of Job. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backwards, I cannot perceive him. Do you see your need? Your need of a rock, a shelter, a refuge. But does it turn you to the Lord? Verse 1, hear my cry, my prayer, O God. From the end of the earth, verse 2, I cry to thee. Do you see your need tonight of the Lord, of Christ? Does your need drive out to him? One more aspect, also on this National Day of Prayer. To see your need for Christ as your rock, as your shelter, as your strong tower. Your sin. Sin separates. Maybe you heard it already in Sunday school or catechism class, or you hear it from the pulpit. Sin separates. And young people, if there are some young people in our midst, young people, it is not an abstract concept, but a reality. In the beginning, a discussion about sin can sometimes feel overwhelmed. But sin is serious. It offends a good-doing God, who is so gracious that he invites you, even now, in Isaiah 1, even now, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be like red like crimson, come now, let us settle the matter. Whatever that is in your life, lust or pride or whatever sin you battle in your life, struggle with. It brings a separation between the Lord and your soul. And friends, that is an objective truth. Isaiah reminds us in chapter 51, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. And when you know this subjectively, that is, when you experience a separation from a good-doing God, this distance between him and your soul because of your sin. When you cannot deny that, that is his grace. There's not Bunyan right, as the sinner is awakened about his lost condition, there arises in his soul, her soul, many fears and doubts, discouraging apprehensions. You begin to experience what, and that experience, I think, for all God's people, it never leaves you in this life. And I'm not speaking about the profundity, the depth of it. I'm speaking about the principle. And maybe it is not always lively. But if you cannot deny his grace, these are not strange words for you. But Apostle writes, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do this, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I will do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the sin of law, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man. Wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Do you see your needs? When you struggle with sin, what is then your prayer? Your need of the cleansing of your sin. Maybe those times when you cry to the Lord, Lord, have patience with me. I pay thee all. When your heart is overwhelmed with guilt, with shame, seeing your sin in need of the Savior. A time maybe that the words of Psalm 107 are the words and experience, and hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Spurgeon, a 19th century preacher in London, writes on this text, waves of trouble and affliction are all over me. It is all over me. It encompasses me as a cloud. It swallows me up like a sea. It shuts me in with the thick darkness. Yet God is near. Near enough to hear my voice. And so I will call on him. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me. And be honest tonight, it is sometimes hard to pray when your heart is drowning and is overwhelmed. This experience, this reality, I cry to him, but I'm confused and the distance with him is felt from the end of the earth. I see him to be my refuge, sure and strong, but at the same time, I feel so feeble and faint. Waves are over me in doubt and temptation. And then the rock, which is too high for you, but you cannot miss him anymore. You need him the more. And therefore you pray and plead with him, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I read in preparing this sermon, and seeking soul should at once believe in Jesus. I say at once. But it is legitimate for you to ask to be led to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is able and to effect such a leading. In fact, Augustus Toplady wrote in the same Gospel magazine, when he wrote a preface to his hymn, he wrote, do not despair. Pray afresh to God, who is able to raise you up and set you on your feet again. Look to the blood of the covenant and say to the Lord from the depths of your heart, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. So our second thought, who he is, this rock of ages, who Christ is. Because the psalmist in 61 shows us this. Verse 2, a rock, a shelter, a strong tower. More personal, a shelter for me. As all these verses in this psalm are so personal, this personal experience, my cry to God, my prayer, I cry to him, my heart is overwhelmed, lead me. I will abide in his tabernacle, I will trust under his wing. Friends, is that who Christ is for you. We have the words of another psalm, the same Psalm 18, which is kind of the background of this Psalm 61. Is the Lord your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, in whom you take refuge? Is he your shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold? Because where will we go when you are caught up in the storms of life? When we are confused about the times in which we live, when we see where the nation is going, when our heart is overwhelmed, those times when you cried from the end of the earth because of the challenges in your life, maybe of marriage strains, of the sorrow and grief that you have, to whom will you go? When God feels distant, when you experience a lack of God's presence, when you feel remote from God, His people and the church, times that are you perplexed, in the perplexity of time, in the protest and the perversity of our time, when you feel overwhelmed by your guilt, your shame, seeing a sin. Oh, friends, here is Christ, who left the place of glory, that heavenly sanctuary, the tabernacle, left a place of presence and communion of his Father, so that you can and will abide in his tabernacle, to be in his presence and have communion with him. That you who cried from the end of the earth, that you who feels at times that God is so distant, to commune with him, to converse with him in prayer, that you pour out your soul before him, but then to experience God is a refuge for us, having communion with him through his word, that the word of Christ dwells in you richly, and that for your poor condition. That is when you give heed to his voice, also tonight, on this national day of prayer, when he stands in the door and knock. And if any man hears his voice and opens the door, he promises, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me, to have communion with him. Those times that you can sing or sigh, in sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest within thy own, to keep me near thy sight. Friends, when was it the last time that you had true communion with your Savior? Here is Christ, who was overwhelmed in the Garden of Gethsemane. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, so that you can and will be strengthened and comforted for his sake. Here is one Christ himself who prayed at Golgotha, who cried out at the cross, an infinite distance from the Father, and was not heard, so that you can and will be heard, even from the ends of the earth, for his sake. Christ, whose enemies in his life and was surrounded by them at the cross, of whom was foretold, the sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me, so that you have a strong tower from the enemy, whoever that is, and whatever enemy you may have, so that you can and will be comforted in your sorrow and grief. Oh, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, for Christ's sake. Then Christ, who is the rock, who lifts you up above the circumstances of life, challenging as they may be, when nothing seems to be firm or permanent, when the waves of trials and testings are over you, he sets you upon the rock, and the rock is Christ. Christ, who is a shelter, a hiding place, a safe out, a place of protection, a place of care. When you feel vulnerable, when you are weak, when you are feeble in yourself, confused in the time in which we live. Then it is Christ who prays for you even now. This interceding high priest at the right hand of the Father, where he abides forever. Verse 7, he will abide before God forever. And there he intercedes, and there he prays and advocates for each of his children, even now. Praise that your faith fails not, and that in the midst of the storms of life, in those times that you are confused and overwhelmed, when you feel distant from him, but he prays, and experience when you cry into the Lord in your trouble, and he saved you out of your distresses. Experience this man, this woman cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Oh, friends, see then tonight a fresh and a new Christ, the shelter, the strong tower, the rock of ages, in all his suitableness, in all his willingness, also to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him, seeing that he ever lives. Oh, see him in his mercy, rich and undeserved mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Friends, he has not dealt with us as a nation, as churches, as families, and individuals. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Oh, see him in his willingness and ability to save you. Christ is more willing to save. So I read by a 17th century pastor, Christ is more willing to save than sinners are willing to be saved by him. Oh, see him tonight fresh and anew in his promises. His invitation to come to him with this promise, he or her that comes to me, also tonight, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, see him in his precious blood that cleanses you from all your sin, also those sin that you struggle with in your life. Oh, see him in his dying love on the cross, cleft and dead for me. Friends, Christ's work has been freely prepared. It must be freely received. Nothing can be added, and nothing has to be added. Oh, see him then tonight, as he is a complete and an able and a willing Savior, so that you may experience afresh and anew, my Savior he has proved. He only is my rock and tower. I shall never be moved. Now, should that not transform you if you cannot deny Christ's work of grace in your life? In other words, if you cannot deny that Christ was revealed to your overwhelming soul, so that you took refuge in him, seeking your life out of yourself in him, how does that then translate in your life? I will leave you this evening with three main implications to remember on this National Day of Prayer. What I mean is this: first, as seen in this psalm, in this prayer, first, to remember to direct your life with all its needs to God. When you are overwhelmed, times of adversity, times of prosperity, in the times we live as a nation. Here is one in our psalm who did not go to, that did go to challenging times in life, but remember, he turned to the Lord. O God, hear my cry. Attend to my prayer. But I cry to him. And so you, whatever situation or circumstances in life you have or you face, turn to the Lord. And yes, you begin to understand the psalmist. Oh God, you know how I feel, how overwhelmed I am. But oh God, hear me. Attend to me. Because friends, it's not so often that we try to figure out our problems and challenges in life first. And if nothing seems to work, then we turn to the Lord. But see the order of the psalmist in the psalm. Hear, O God, attend to my prayer. That first, God the Lord. And then second, his issues. An overwhelmed heart. And remember therefore, with all your needs, and also the needs of our nation, small and great, direct in prayer to him. Turn to him first. He is the God who hears, a prayer-hearing God. And the Lord promises that. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to thy cry. 7:24. Second, remember the past. Recall the past. Also on this day, this national day of prayer. The past of our nation. The times of revival. This recalling the past dealings of the Lord. As a nation, as a church, as families, personal. Not to recall your past, fractured and complicated as it might be. But who he was for our nation, for our churches, for you. And see verse 2. For thou hast been a shelter for me. Thou hast been a strong tower from the enemy. He remembers, he recalls that shelter, that strong tower, even in times when he was overwhelmed. But he cries out to the same God of the past. This same unchangeable God. Oh God, hear me. Attend to my prayer. And note, his perspective on the circumstances changes completely. He remembers, he recalls, thou hast been. And then immediately the next text verse, I will abide, I will take refuge. And that gives him to say in verse 8, I will sing. And that only and because of that unchangeable rock, solid rock, that rock of ages, this covenant-keeping God of the past, the present, will be the same forever and ever. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, ye sons, your daughters of Jacob's, that is your hope, are not consumed. Remember then to turn to the Lord in all your life circumstances, when you are overwhelmed or not, in need of outward circumstances, with all the protests and perversity that goes on in our nation, the need of inward conditions, your sin, your shortcomings, turn to him and cry out, O God, that is our hope. And remember often, who he has been for you in the past. Then I ask each of you, when you have received a place at the Lord's table, when you cannot deny God's grace in your life, then I ask you, look back in your life. Can you not testify tonight? Has he not been a shelter for you? Has he not been a strength and a strong tower to you? Or have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heaven and the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. His understanding. And he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he in crisis strength. And lastly, remember also to commune with him, trusting him. Also at the close of this National Day of Prayer. Verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle. That is to be in his presence. And how needed is this, eh? With all the turmoil in our nation, with all that is maybe going on in your life, but to be in his presence. And how, maybe you ask, how will I be in his presence? That is to be in his word. Daily reading in your Bible. To hear his word. Preaching on Sunday. Or young people, the podcast during the week. Remember dwelling with the Lord, dwelling in his presence. That is enjoying his sacred hospitality and his sure protection. One commentator wrote on this text, remember, he who communes with God is always at home. Experience his protection, his care, his nearness. That is, I will trust under his wings. If you go now in the springtime and you see the young birds under the feathers of a mother bird, how safe, how comfortable, how happy, how they rest under the protection and caring feathers. How much more to be under the Lord's care and protection, trusting under his wing. And remember, if you cannot deny his gracious work in you, cannot deny those times he heard my voice and my supplication, a refuge thou hast been for me. Remember to trust, not once, but again and again and again, to rest in him. And then Selah. So end our text, verse 4. Selah. That is, pause for a moment. Pause for a moment at the close of this day of prayer and meditation. When we have heard these verses of the psalm, and if it is you, when you have listened and maybe you have raised all kinds of objections, will God really hear my prayer? Is my cry to him good enough? Is he really a shelter, a refuge for me? Am I really welcome by him? Maybe there are among us that say, if you know my life, if you know my past, if you know my sin, my secret sin, whatever objection you have raised, whatever objection you may have, this is his offer to you. This God, when you are overwhelmed, upholds you in the strife. This God, he hears the needy when they cry. This God is your salvation. Will you reject that offer? I plead with you, don't delay. Take refuge in him, your shelter from the storming blast, your rock cleft also for you. But also pause for a moment. At the close of this day, when we have heard these verses of this psalm, and that you may say by grace, so it is. Remember, recall often this psalm as it speaks of the life of grace. I cry, I abide, I trust, I sing. Why? Why? Only because he hears, he leads, he shelters for Christ's sake. The rock of ages, cleft for me. Amen. Lord, will bless thine own words in each and every heart tonight. grant by grace that the words of thy word are experienced in our life and continue to lead us on that rock, Christ and Him alone, for our nation, for our churches, for us as church family, and that also the outgoings of this thy word, that we truly may sing thy praises unto thy name forever, and that we may daily perform our vows. Forgive our shortcomings in speaking, our sins in listening, and glorify thy own word in all our hearts, that we may meditate upon thy word in the remainder of this week as a preparation for this coming Sunday, when again, if thou givest, that glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is again preached from this pulpit. We prayed in his name. Amen.